Isaiah chapter number 6, and I want to read verse number 8. Let's stand together. We'll honor the Bible. Verse number 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. We thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege that we have to be able to come into your house this morning. Lord, we count it a great joy to be able to feel your presence among your church. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd do a work today that we cannot do ourselves. Lord, I pray that your power be rich and real in the hearts of believers. Lord, I pray if there be one here not saved, pray that you'd save them. Lord, if there be others that are here, maybe they've been saved, but they're backslidden. They're not where they need to be. I pray that you'd bring them back to you. Lord, we pray today again that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power. Lord, give us strength this morning to proclaim your word. We ask you, Lord, that your word would go out and find its place today and is lodging in our hearts, Lord, that we'd not only be the hearer, but be the doer. We ask you, Father, to have your way with us now. Anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us words that we need to say. What you do today, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here am I, send me. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes on the thought, here am I, send me. You know, being available to the Lord is a big task for all of us. Making ourselves available to do God's bidding is a great task for all of us. We live in a very complex day. We have everything out there to captivate our minds, and our attention oftentimes is placed on the things of this world, not on the things of the church and the things of God. Oftentimes we're too busy in the world, in the flesh, to do God's will, and oftentimes it gets undone. Very low percent of people in the church does the highest percent of the work that needs to be done in the church. There's no greater joy than serving the Lord. There's no greater joy in a Christian's heart than to doing the will of God. I know this morning, a lot of times where we want to, but somehow or another we just don't will to. And we know in our heart that it's the greatest work in all the world is to serve the Lord. We know that. And to do what God would have us to do. Isaiah wasn't any different than you and I. He is a very busy man. His livelihood was found in the palace of Uzziah. And so we know that he spent all his time as a counselor there in the palace, counseling Uzziah for over 52 years. He is there with him. And he, as far as I know, he is the only king that Isaiah knew about in his lifetime here in serving this king. And so for this amount of time, he didn't know any different. And sometimes in our lives, we let our years go by and we let our time swiftly pass us until we don't realize that the time has got a hold of us and now it's gone. And so we know this morning there's a work for all of us to do this morning. I'll be honest with you. I'm no different than you are. I struggle with the work of God. And so do you this morning. Because there's so much other busyness that we feel like's more important than the things of God. Sometimes our priorities get way out of balance in our lives. And we'll see that the things that we feel like is more important deals with the things of this world. But God is constantly trying to rein us in and help us to see that the most important thing is the people of this world. Not the possessions of this world, but the people of this world are the most important thing. They're the ones that will die and go to hell if they're not saved. They're ones that suffer the consequences of their sin if they're not saved. And so now we see here Isaiah come to the place where he had heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And the Bible said at that point, he said, "Here am I, send me." And now I want to say this morning for just a few minutes, if the Lord will help me, for us to get to the point to where we can say to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And so now Isaiah wasn't like that in the very beginning. He had served the king, Uzziah, in most of his life here. But now the Bible said Uzziah had died. And there had to be a change taking place here in Isaiah's life. And I want to say this morning, if we're ever going to be able to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," there's going to have to be some changes take place in yours and my life to be able to say, "Here am I, send me." There are going to be some things that we're going to have to lay down. There are going to be some things that we're going to have to find that's not as important as the things of God is. And so this morning there has to be a change to take place. And Isaiah had served the king in this world, King Uzziah. How oftentimes we'll serve the things of this world, we'll serve the flesh of this world, we'll serve the pleasures of this world. And I want to say this morning that sin does bring with it much pleasure. The Bible said Moses confessed the fact that he'd rather suffer with the afflictions of the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to remind the church again that we're blood bought. Amen. How we belong to the Lord. We do not belong to ourselves. How we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. And therefore our master is the Lord. And we're servants. Or may I say it just a little more humbly this morning, we're slaves to the Lord. Amen. And but then we're also have a sonship to the Lord. So that relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus, it's much more than a slave, although it is the commitment that comes along with being a slave in serving his master. The Bible said there had to be a change take place. And I remember when the Lord saved me. Do you remember when how many of you remember when the Lord saved you? Amen. Do you remember the day that the Lord Jesus, when he began to speak to your heart, the Holy Ghost began to take the word of God and prick your heart, and the power and the pulling of God brought you on your knees and you repented of your sin. Oftentimes we'll say a prayer like, "Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do anything." What we're asking God to do is to change our lives and let us be different today. Let us no longer serve sin, no longer suffer under the bondage of sin, but now turn us and set us free. I want to tell you, the Lord did just that for us. Amen. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross and for the forgiveness of our sin. All he did for us that we could not do for ourselves, he suffered, amen, on that cross, and he shed his blood, his own life's blood, willfully for you and I, that we could have a forgiveness of our sin and fellowship with our Creator, that we could say, like Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." That's where Isaiah had to get to that place. We remember how that God did for us that we could not do in our lifetime and saving ourselves, and be reminded that we belong to him, and therefore we're workers of the Lord. We're the children of the King. We're sons of God, and therefore we're to do his bidding and do his commandments. Amen. So now we know there has to be a change take place. If you're too busy to serve the Lord, well, then we're way too busy. There's some things that we need to let go. There's some things that we need to push aside. There's some things that we need to work on. We no longer need to desire those things. They'll get done in their time. And if they don't get done, you didn't need them anyhow. Amen. Many of us today have got closets filled with clothes, shoes to wear that last us for 20 years. And many of us have that. And we have 3 or 4 automobiles in our driveways and things all over the house that's taking up all of our time. And maybe we just need to downsize with the world and upsize with the things of God. And I want to tell you, maybe we just need to change our way of living. If we're too busy to serve the Lord, we're just too busy. Now, I want to tell you, the devil is a shrewd character. He'll sure keep your mind on other things if he can. He'll cause you and put things in your way that will steal your time. It's what he said he came to do. Jesus said he come to steal. But it almost makes us think like he's talking about, what is he stealing? He's stealing our time. Is not our time the most valuable thing that we have, the very asset? Amen. Do you know what somebody would have given if they could have had just a little bit more time while they were here? Can you imagine what people would give if we could build up and buy time? Can you imagine how valuable a time would be? We're fussing and fight about gas prices, because gas prices are going out the roof. And because of that, we can't drive any further than we want to drive. But I'm going to tell you, let them take everything away from us, and time will be the most valuable thing we have. I tell you what you do. Go down to the hospitals and look over there in those intensive care rooms and those SCIU rooms and all those rooms. And then go through the... I was at the hospital last night, and 3 times while I was there, they coated blue. 3 times over the hospital. In that little bit of time, they coated blue. Could you imagine what those folks would love to exchange with you this morning? They'd give everything that they own if they could just have a little more time. Time is a valuable asset to every one of us, and God blesses us with time. We're timely creatures, and we need to spend more time doing the important things. And the important thing is to serve the Lord. He said, "Here am I, send me." I don't know why we put him on the bottom of our plans, but we do. We'll do it during revival times. We'll do it during any times. We'll always put him, if we have time, then we'll serve the Lord. That's unbiblical. That's not the word of God. Isaiah found out that he needed a change in his life. And let me tell you, if you'll see the Lord again, like Isaiah saw the Lord, you'll put your priorities straight. The Bible said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said his train filled the temple. He had got his eyes off of Uzziah, and he got him on the Lord of glory. I tell you, when we get to looking at him this morning, we'll put our time right, and we'll serve the Lord. He not only... did you find that he needed a change, but he needed a cleansing. Change causes a cleansing. Amen. He's not just any change that Isaiah was looking for, but he was needing a change with a relationship with God. That's what he needed a change in, his relationship with God. The Bible said that he had seen the Lord high and lifted up, and he describes him like the angel described him, holy, holy, holy. And the Bible said the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with his smoke. Amen. That the change that he had looking for had come with a cleansing. And the Bible said that he when he saw the smoke, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." He said, "Because I'm a man of unclean lips." And he said, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He said, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And he said, "And then flew one of the seraphims off the and took some tongs off the altar, and he brought it and touched it to his lips, And the Bible said he cleansed his iniquity and he had taken it away, and his sins was purged. His sins was purged. I'm wondering if that's what's hindering us from following the Lord, is the sin issue. I'm thinking in my mind that God is so holy and we're so unholy until we feel like we can never measure up. How many times do we say, I can't? I can't teach. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that, preacher. I can't testify. There's more I can't than I do's over at the church house. But you know what about that? You told the truth. You can't do it. You can't do it. But under the power of the Holy Ghost, you can do it. Amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. And what Isaiah had to do was get a cleansing of himself out of there. And the Spirit of the Lord has come in there that empowers us. I'm going to tell you, he still has power today and empowers his children to be able to do the will of God. Amen. Peter, you remember that fella. He'd always stick his foot in his mouth every time he opened it before he got converted, before the Spirit of the Lord come. But after the Spirit of the Lord come, you couldn't hush Peter up. He couldn't talk enough about Jesus. He couldn't tell them enough about the resurrection. And those apostles and those church folks there, them 120, they couldn't talk enough about Jesus. And on the first day of Pentecost, there was over 3,000 souls saved. Not long from that, there were 5,000 souls saved because they got committed, amen, to telling the world about Jesus. Amen. 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 They got their mind. The Bible said they were all in one accord. They got their heart and mind centered on one thing. That was to do the will of God. They were committed to it. This morning, we need a cleansing. A cleansing of our sin and see the Lord for who he really is. The devil has got us blinded, believing that we can't get no better. But I'm going to tell you, I know what it feels like to repent. What it feels like to be cleansed by the Lord. Amen. I tell you, it'll change a man. Amen. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your want to's. Amen. It will. It'll change the things you want to do. Those things that really mattered to you before won't ever really matter to you anymore. What's really real, amen, is what the Lord does in us and through us for his glory and for his honor. Here am I, send me. Maybe the biggest hindrance is our sin. He said he took the tongs off the altar, touched it to his mouth, and the iniquity was taken away and his sin was purged. It was then and only then till he was able to hear the commission of the Lord. It was only then. The Bible said after his cleansing, he said, I heard the voice of the Lord. How many times does we have earwax in our ears and we don't hear the Lord speaking? Amen. Maybe we just need to get our ears cleaned out and tuned up to the Lord this morning. He's probably doing more calling than we're doing answering. He's probably doing more speaking than we admit to our hearts what he's doing. He's trying to call individuals to serving the Lord. The Bible said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? He was tuned in to another world. I asked a young preacher this past week. He ain't been preaching long. And I said, son, I said, do you ever think about pastoring the church? Boy, I'm all about pastoring. I'm all about preachers pastoring churches. And I am. And I know the Bible said you have to have a desire to pastor. I know that. But I don't want him to fall asleep today. And I asked him, I said, do you ever think about pastoring the church? And he said, Brother William, he said, I don't think about that. I said, well, why don't you? I was talking to a preacher not long ago, been a couple of years ago now. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with your life. And he started telling me about college, and he was going to be some type of an engineer, and he had all these plans and all these plans. And I listened to him. I said, wait a minute. I said, hold. I said, didn't the Lord call you to preach? He said, yes, sir. I said, why is your heart then turned to being an engineer or something in the world? I said, what's wrong with being a preacher? Can somebody tell me what's wrong? If the Lord called you to preach, just be a preacher. Dedicate your whole life to the ministry and be a student of the Word of God. Amen. That's what he called us to do. I said, why in the world don't you go? I said, if you're going to go to school, I said, go to Bible school. I said, learn something about the Word of God and how to pastor a church. I said, don't waste your time on learning to be an engineer. Let the world have the engineer. Let the others have the engineer. God called you to preach. Preach the Word of God. Why do we struggle so much about that? He told him, he said, here am I. He said, send me. Making yourself available for the service of the Lord. I called a preacher one time. I was in Mississippi. Called a preacher in Blount County, a wonderful man. I said, brother so-and-so, I said, would you come help us in revival? He said, no, sir. I never had a preacher just outright tell me, no, sir, I'm not coming over. And I said, will you tell me why you won't come? He said, because there's other preachers that can come. He said, I got enough of folks around here to preach to. He said, I don't have to come over and preach a revival. He said, I'll just preach to these few folks that I'm preaching to. And I said, well, I said, all right, then. And I hung the phone up. But you know, after I got to thinking about it, I think there's a lot of attitudes like that. Me and my four and no more. I really do. But the Lord was calling Isaiah. He wanted Isaiah to go for it. Amen. To get up and go. He said, and Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me. But look at this commitment. Then said I, Lord, how long? Come on, how long I got to do this? I tell you what I'll do. I'll take a teacher's position for 1 year and that's all. I'll be the song director for just a year. I'm over. I'll do my duty. Isaiah said, no different than you and I. He said, now how long am I going to have to go? And he said, and the Lord answered him and said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, the houses without man, the land be utterly desolate. Whew. Lord, do you really mean I'm going to have to do this long? And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a forsaken in the midst of the land. Boy, if I'd have known now what I know then, I'd have never said yet. Think about that. I know now, then what I know now, I'd have fought it longer. He said, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree. And as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. How long, Lord, am I going to have to do till we win? Till we win. There is no quitting place. He was telling Isaiah, he said, it ain't going to be like a flood of souls. He said, there's just going to be a remnant of them. There's going to be a few of them. He said, but keep a going till you win some. Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I may win some. We go and keep on going until we win some. Try to reach some. If we could just reach one. I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you have been Christians for years and years and years and years. And you've not ever brought somebody to this altar. Think about that. You younger people. Listen, I want you young adults. You young adults. Young married. We got just a handful of young married folks. My question to you is, where's your friends at? Do you have friends? Do you have friends, people that you're acquainted with, that you go out with and eat with and talk to? Bring them to the house of God. You senior citizens, you listen.
This ain't for you to be over. There is no quitting place. Who are you bringing? Your family, your friends. Do you invite them here anymore? Or are you ashamed? Are we ashamed of the way we do? Well, I'd not ever be ashamed of this. Amen. Trying to reach them. How many of them have you really worked on to get them over here that you might win some of them? You may not win them all, but you may win one of them. And if you win one of them, go after another. Don't stop till Jesus comes. Isaiah said, Lord, how long? He said, till I get through with you. He said, it's not going to be popular. It's going to be popular. He said, but tell them till you've seen the last person. He said, until the city be wasted without inhabitants. Until there's not another person you can tell in that city. You go till you told every one of them. And he said, and the houses without man, and the land utterly be desolate till there's nowhere else to go. He said, then you can stop. Then you can stop. He said, the Lord have removed men far away until the Lord gets done with that work. There's nobody else and no one else to talk to, no one else to say. And there'll be a forsaken in the midst of the land until they have it. Brother J.P. Rowan, God bless that man. I called him up one day and his wife said he can't come with the phone. I said, well, can he call me back? She said, I don't know. He's in his prayer room. And so when he gets in his prayer room, he said he locks the door. And he told me a long time ago, do not disturb me. We need some more J.P. Rowans. Amen. More, they tell me that when Brother J.P. had gone down the street here at Albertville, said sinners would see him coming and then cross the road to keep from until those men be far removed from you. Here he comes again. Here they come again. And they start getting in their cars and leaving the driveway. Keep them going till they remove far away from you. But every once in a while, there'll be one get saved. Here I am, Lord, send me. He told his apostles, go into all the world, teaching and preaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This morning, there's a commission for all of us. A commandment from the Lord for all of us. If the priority is not the work of the Lord, I want to say to you this morning, it needs to be. Cut off some things in your life if you're too busy. Push them away. Change something. There's sin in the way. Confess it. Get it out of your way. Clean. Get your lives cleaned up to serve the Lord. It'd be hard for an alcoholic to come to me and talk to me about being saved, wouldn't you? I wouldn't listen to that man for 2 seconds for a drunk to come wobbling up to me and telling me that I need to be saved. Well, I wouldn't have no confidence in that. I'd need somebody that's got some real spirit about me, that I could just know that they have been with the Lord. This morning, we need a cleansing. Then we need a commitment to the Lord, that we're committed for however it is till the Lord gets through with me. I'm going to say this and I'm going to hush. He's going to give us a song. We heard the song sung before, that I want to die on the battlefield. Your pastor has been here for 54 years. On his dying day, walked out that door. And his last words as he went out the door said, don't die lost. His last word, don't die lost. When did he quit? When he breathed his last breath. Don't you think we ought to honor the Lord and don't ever quit? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me.